Pas Aaron, and everything we learned today should be the for the person who was we were saying Tillum for, unfortunately, was Nifter. So, of us are. Okay, so we have, as is our minhag, since we didn't have shir for the last 2 weeks, so we like to say a little something about the previous parshas, so they should not go unspoken about. So I'd like to just say something on Parshas Kairach, something on Chukas, and then we'll say a couple of things on Parshas Balak, Mitz Hashem. So let's take a look on page 429. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, In Kemais Kala Adam Yamusa Eila, Hashem didn't send me. V'im bria yivra Hashem upatsa adam espia. But if there is a new thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates and the Adama opens its mouth, ubala, and swallows them up, we'll know that I'm right. When he finished these things, v'timbaka adama asher tachta. And the Adama opens up. Now I'm going to ask a question I don't have an answer for, I have a possible answer. It says, Vatifta ha'aretz es piyon. And the aretz opened its mouth, Vativla isam es batem es swallows them up. And the next part says, V'yard ha'em v'chal shalem chayim sha'ayla, v'chas ha'lem ha'aretz. So I was just wondering, I just noticed it this morning, why does it change the lashon for Adama to aretz? In Moshe Rabbeinu says, the Adama should open up. And the pasuk says Vatifta Ha'aretz, and the Aretz opened up. So I think the difference between Adama and Aretz is that Adama means land, ground. This is called Adam is because you come in Adama. Aretz is something more conceptual, a place. Ha'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Amen. It's called Eretz. It's more of a connotes a concept rather than the physical. So when Moshe Rabbeinu said this about the Aretz of the Kali, he said the Adama show up, but once Moshe Rabbeinu is using it for such a chashuv thing that's going to prove the truth of Moshe Rabbeinu and is going to tell the falsehood of Kairach, so it transcended Adama. It became more, it became Aretz. It actually became something more than just, it just became more than that. It's interesting, it says, Asar Dvarim Nivr Be'er V'Shavas Ve'elim Pi Ha'aretz. It doesn't say Pi Adama. So Moshe Rabbeinu says Adam, it says Aretz. I'm just thinking Agav. But the more important question that I wanted to ask is why did Hashem, or did Moshe Rabbeinu choose this way to punish them? What was Moshe Rabbeinu's kavana in choosing this purpose, in this way? Maybe lightning should have struck them, right? That's, you know, like the jokes, you know, lightning should strike. Or chayes, wild animals should eat them. There are many ways in which people can be punished. Why dafke was it that the land should swallow them up? That's question number one. Question number two is you take a look at the end of Parshas Baloyscha, so it's very, very fascinating what the Torah says about Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, we know the story of Miriam and Aaron, and they're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem becomes very upset with them, he punishes Miriam with Saras. But the Torah makes a comment about Moshe Rabbeinu. If you take a look at page 414 in Pasuk Gimel, it says, Va'ish Moshe Anmi Ay Mikol Ha'adam. He was the greatest of all humble people. Asher Al Pnei Adama, which are on the land. Why didn't just say, Va'ish Moshe Anmi Ay Mikol Ha'adam? What did the Torah add by saying the words Al Pnei Adama on the face of the land? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest on of Al Pnei Adam on the face of the land. So what was added, what did the Torah add by these words? So question number one is, why was Korach punished by the ground swallowing them up? And question number two is, why was Moshe Rabbeinu called the Anami Kol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adam? So I'd like to answer by saying the following. If you take a look in Pirkei Avos, which we're learning over the summer, and you take a look in Perek Gimel, so the pasuk says, "Akavya ben Malal el Eimer." The first Mishnah pasuk in Perek Gimel, he's stakel b'shloisha dvarim ve'ein ato ba lidei avera, and you won't come to avera. We're asking, we're saying just something on Kairach, and then we say Chukas. We're just asking, why was Kairach swallowed up in the Adama? Why not some other punishment? There are many punishments he could have had. could have struck by lightning, he could have had to face wild animals, lots of things. Why this? And the second question we're asking is, why does it say Moshe was the Onam Mikol HaAdam Asher Al Pnei Adama? What did the Torah add by saying the words Asher Al Pnei Adama? Why didn't it just say Moshe Onam Mikol HaAdam? Finished. You don't need to say more than that. So we want to answer by saying, in the beginning of Perek Shlishi of Pirkei Avos, so Kavanah says, look at three things. And the middle one that he says, La'ana Tahailech, L'makam Ofer Rima V'Seleah, that if you want to live a good life and not come to sin, so you have to realize what the end is going to be. And it's very liberating in a certain sense. Just like Warren Buffett, who's the richest man, I think, or maybe Bill Gates, the face who's the richest, he will go to the same place as the guy who comes over to me on the train asking for a quarter. And that's where everybody ends up. So a person's liberating because the person says, why am I spending my life chasing all of these luxuries? Why am I trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Schwartzes? Why am I doing all these things? It all ends us in the same place, and it leads to a certain humility. And when that person has humility, he realizes also, while he's thinking about it, he says, what's the purpose of doing Averis? It doesn't get me anywhere. Ultimately, I'm going to end up having to give a din v'cheshbon. I'm going to have to justify it. So that leads him to anava. So the fact that there's a concept called the Adama, the fact there's a concept called the place where everyone goes, right? You return in Adama, and you come from Adama. Adam is Adam, because he comes from Adama, he's going back to Adama. And that leads a person to humility. So therefore, I think that's the pshat in the puzzle. It's beautiful. He was the greatest of all. And the question they all ask is, how is he the greatest of all you humble people? It's very hard to be humble when everyone stands up when you walk in. Remember, Gifty used to say, the Tzal used to say, you think it's easy to walk in the basement and 200 people jump to their feet. You don't think it's embarrassing. Feels uncomfortable. You have to do it. It's covered attire. So Moshe Rabbeinu had 600,000 people standing up for him. It was men, women, 3 million people. He walked in and everybody got to their feet. How did that happen? How did Moshe still be an Onav? The answer is that he internalized the lesson of Akavi ben Malala. He internalized the lesson of the Adama. And therefore it says, V'ish Moshe oino mi'oy mikol Adam, asher al pnei Adama. Because that's why the Torah adds it, to say, how did he get to be Adam mikol Adam? Because he learned the lesson of the Adama. The lesson of, ultimately, we all return to Adama, and therefore, sin is not worth it, Gaiva is not worth it, it's all not worth it. Let's keep our eye, as they say, on the eight ball. And that's why I think the Kairav was put into the Adama, because Kairav didn't learn that lesson. Kairav did not learn that lesson. His Gaiva carried him away. His Gaiva, he says, I want to be the head. Why is he the head? I want to be the head. That's what made him fall. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was on me, I call on him. Why? Because he learned Al Pnei Adama. Kairav was punished because he didn't learn the Adama. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, Dafka said, that, because who chose this punishment? It wasn't Hashem chose it. Moshe Rabbeinu chose it. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu chose it? He says, we have to teach a lesson, a lesson of Anava, a lesson of humility, the lesson of Al Pnei Adama. So I'm thinking that might be the reason. We also asked the question, which maybe after the shir someone give it an answer, is why when Moshe Rabbeinu said it, he called it Adama, and when the Torah describes it, calls it Haaretz. Tiftach Haaretz. If you take a look at page 430 and read those psukim, you'll see that. And the answer, the simple answer we gave just as a thought, is that maybe it was Adama is just the simple land, but Haaretz is more choshev. Once it's used for this purpose, it transcended Adama to become Haaretz. Okay, let's take a look in Parshas Chukas. So in Parshas Chukas, we know that we have, at the bottom page 439, we have the incident of the Meimor Riva. And the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to do what to the rock? Speak to the rock. And what did he do? He hit the rock. So I heard last Shabbos, I was at someone's Shabbos table, and they said a very nice, from Rabbi Goldberg, I don't know where he said it from, but it says, V'yadavar Hashem al-Moshe Lehem, you take a look at the Pesukim, page 439 at the bottom, Kach esamate v'hakel es'eda ata v'ar naficha v'dibartem el ha'sela le'eneyem v'nosan meimav. You'll speak to the cell and it will give its water. V'yitzes le'mayim in ha'sela, you'll bring, take water, the proverbial water from the rock. V'yishkiz es'eda v'zbirim, you'll give everyone to drink and their cattle, their all their animals. What does it say in Pasuk Yud Aleph? Vayor Moishes Yada Vayachas Asela B'mata Pamoyim Vayetsu Mayim Rabim. And a lot of water came out. So he said, this tells us something very important about interpersonal relationships. He says that you talk to another person and you talk to them nice and you speak to them the way you're supposed to speak to another person with nas and meimah, they will give their water from themselves. They'll give of themselves. They'll give you everything you want. It'll be from them. If vayach itself, you hit them, so to speak, if you speak to them in a harsh way and force them to do it, vayetzumayim rabim, a lot of water may come out, but will not come from them. It will not come from the people themselves. It'll come from the fact that you forced them to do it and will not end happily. As we see by Moshe Rabbeinu, it did not end happily. You might get more water by that. You hit a child, or you yell at a child, or you chastise them. You might get more in the short run, but in the long run, it will not be mimenu. It will not be from that person, and that will be something that lasts. So if you want to get from a person, speak to them, and their waters will indeed come out, and you will be happy. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Parshas Balak. Let's move over to Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches. So what does it say about Bilam? We know the story. We don't have enough time to go into the whole story, but basically, you know, Balak comes to Bilam, and he says, I need a cursor, and not the type they use on computers. He wanted somebody that would curse Rachman al-Islam, curse the Klal Yisrael. And, of course, this is a terrible thing, and Hashem made sure that it did not happen. So what does the Pasuk tell us? Vayan Bilam Vayomer El Avde Balak Im Yitein Li Balak Malay Beisai Kesev Zav. If you give me all the Kesev and Zav in Balak's house, and remember, Balak was a king. And a king's got a lot of Kesev and Zav. He's got a lot of gold and silver in his storage house. Give it all to me. Like Uchel Lavris Pi Hashem. I can't be over the mouth of Hashem. Elokai. Lasas Katana Gadaila, I can't do anything without the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he says, I want Malay Besai. So says Rashi, and this will tie into what we're going to say, Lamanu Shanafsha Rechava Venech Mohammed Mamun. He had a wide soul. He wanted more and more and more. And he desired money, Mamun Acher, he wanted other people's monies. Omar, Roy Lai Litin Li Kol Kazavazah. Shalai, give me all of his gold and silver straight, Sarab Liskur, Chayolas Rabbis, he'd have to hire a lot of soldiers. Saving Notzer, Saving Enotzer, Vani, Vade Notzer. He doesn't know if it'll be good, he doesn't know if it won't be good. I'm going to be good. Says, I saw it in the Mayan Shavua, if you take a look, working again with Pirkei Avos and Pirkei Chamishi, everybody knows there's a famous parrot, there's a famous Mishnah that tells, the Mishnah tells us, what's the difference between the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim of Bilam? So what does it say? It's in Perek Hey Pasuk Chav Beis. Call me Sheish Biyado Shloisha Dvarim Alalu. Anybody has these three things, Umi Talmidim Shel Avraham Shloisha Dvarim Acherim. Other things, Umi Talmida Shel Bilam Harasha. It's interesting. What does Acherim mean? Other things. Remember the Megillah when it says that Mordechai says, if you don't listen, if you don't do this, Esther, it'll come mimakam acher, come from other places. So I saw Shodan that sometimes Ribbono Shel Olam even cause to come from not a place which is roy. You're roy to do this. You're a chashuv person. You can do it. But maybe it'll come from another place which is not chashuv, because Hashem will have to do it, not through the best, because you refused somewhere else. Come mimakam acher. From another place. So Shoyz Dvarim Acherim doesn't just mean three other things, but it means three things which are not good things. Huma Talmidei Shel Bilam Rasha. What are they? Ayin Taiva, a good eye, Ruach Nemuchas, a humble spirit, Nefesh Shvala, and somebody who's not looking for a lot. Talmidei Shel Avraham Avinu. Ayin Rav, Ruach Gevayim, Nefesh Ruchav, and that's Talmidei Shel Bilam Rasha. What's the difference between Talmidei of Avraham and the Talmidei of Bilam? Talmidim Shel Avraham Eichlan Ba'ilam Hazeh, eat in this world. The Neichlan Ba'ilam Haba, and they get the next world. And the Talmidim of Bilam, Yarish and Gehenim, they get Gehenim, and Yardla Be'er Shachas. Where do we see this? Where does the Mishnah know the difference that Avraham was this way and Bilam was that way? And this Pasuk tells us. It says, let's take a look at Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu Hashem blessed with a lot of wealth, a very wealthy man. So in our society, what does a wealthy man do with his money? He tries to become more wealthy, right? So if he owns 100 houses, he invests, he owns 1,000 houses. If he owns a face 10 companies, he owns 20 companies. That's the psychology of America. Somebody told me there's a person who retired and he volunteered for a Jewish organization to help that Jewish organization. He had a long business career, very successful, and he left and he went to that company. So he met somebody, a head of another, CEO of another company, and they were talking to each other. He was also like an older person. And he says, "What are you doing with yourself?" And he says, "Well, you know, I have all this time on my hands, and I've got, you know, I'm financially secure, so I'm using it to help the Jewish organization. I'm trying to help them out." So the guy says, "What, are you crazy? Why are you doing that? Why don't you use your money to, you know, buy more yachts and more?" He said he could not wrap his head around the concept of using it for somebody else. Like, money's there to use for yourself. Since we can say Lashon Hara because it's public knowledge, but there was a big tumult one year when Al Gore, who was a multimillionaire, who was a vice president of the United States at the time, gave $93 in charity in a whole year. $93. Most of you didn't give that in the face by one Chinese auction or raffle, you know, whatever. So he said, "So what did Avraham Avinu do with all his money?" You know what Avraham Avinu did? He opened up Achnas's Orchim tent. And he went and he invited people in. And he went and he took care of the people he invited were the poorest people. He took care of everybody. That's what he did with his money. What did Bilam do? Bilam was just the opposite. Bilam got it was a poor man. He must not have had a lot of money, because I suspect even in those days, like somebody had a little bit more money, got a horse instead of a donkey. I mean, you know, he was riding a donkey, is not so chashuv. So Bilam not only did, but he wanted money. He had a nefesh rechava. So what did he say? "I want Yenim's money." What was his fantasy? What he was saying is fantasy. He didn't say, "I want some money from Bullock. I'm going to charge you top dollar for this." If he gave me all of his money, because that's what his mind, right? He was thinking what's in his mind. "I want all the money." So therefore, we see that the difference between the two is startling. Avraham Avinu took the money and gave it, and Bilam wanted the money. So he brings that the number and the time of Yisrael Salanter, the government wanted to open up a base medrash l'rabbanim. The government was always trying to, all governments, especially Russia, they're always trying to normalize the Jews. Right? They always want to, throughout history, they always want to take the Jews, and they should become good Russians or good Poles or good Hungarians or whatever it is, and you know. And the Yidden, for some strange reason they can never fathom, were willing to say, "I could get public school for free, but I'm willing to spend tens of thousands of dollars in order to be mechanech my children the way I feel is the right way to mechanech, and I can pay it." And they just can't wrap their head around it. So he said in this time, the government went, and they wanted to make this rabbinic based medrash l'rabbanim, and they would train government rabbis, and they would train them the way a university does it, critical thinking and whatever they do over there, just like a university. So of course the rabbanim were eish lahav against them. They tried to convince the governor Azari, doesn't say where, but convince whoever the head of the government was not to do it, and it was very hard. Until Rabbi Yisrael Salanter met with him and convinced him. And he says, "Let me ask you a question." He says, "You have a doctor or a lawyer." He says, "When you go to a doctor or a lawyer, they charge top dollar." Right? Everybody always wonders, they go in and out of the doctor, they're there for 5 minutes, they get a bill for like $300. $300 for five. And that's not a specialist, that's a GP. You go to a specialist, you can pay $1,000. You go to a lawyer, he can charge you $800-$900 an hour. Yeah, maybe I'm out of date, maybe it's more. I don't know if anybody deals with lawyers, let me know.
Yeah,
but they can charge a lot of money. So he says, and he says, on the other hand, he says, you go to a Rav, the Rav doesn't charge a penny. The Rav wants, it helps everybody. I just heard a story today, it was unbelievable. I'm not going to mention the name of the Rav because I don't have rishus. But this Rav was asked to sit on a Beis Din from a very wealthy Din Torah. And he drove like 20 hours twice back and forth to go from his home city to where the Beis Din was. And at the end of it, they handed him a check for $70,000. And he looked at it, he says, what's this all about? And they told him, what are you talking about? You're matriarch, you came and you mamish did a wonderful job. And he said, I don't take money for din Torah. And he took the $70,000 check and ripped it up. He's not a rich man. I know him. Afterwards, he asked me what it is. But it was Mavel Al Ryan. This is because that's wrong. He says, Sedri Yisrael Salanter. It's even a Gemara. It says, Anoitel Schar Lotan. Somebody takes Schar to Paskin Dinah Betalim.
Oh, he's
not
allowed to take Schar.
Not allowed to take Schar. Not allowed to say how to teach Torah. So how do we do it? And what's the Heter? The Heter is what's called Schar Bittel. In other words, you're not paying him for teaching Torah, you're not paying him for pasting, but he needs a parnas, so he would have to do something else. So instead of becoming something else, he doesn't have time because he has to sit and pasting, so you're paying for what's called skar bittel. That's the way that it's done. But Lamaisa said, you're so salanter, that the Rav is looking to help everybody. He doesn't charge. If you have a mental health issue, you go to the Rav, and the Rav doesn't say, pay me. He sits down, he helps you out. That's the difference. He says, what's the difference between them? He says, because in the university, he says, they're all looking at their future. And they're saying, I'm going to be in the top echelon of society. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to become rich. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. That's they have a certain thing. So they see, and I want to deal with rich people because it's where I make more money. Those are the better cases. So they're thinking money. He says, the Rav, where did he, what happened? He learned in yeshiva. He learned to be poor. He hung out with poor people. And that's who he was. So who does he have a heart for? He has a heart for them. He doesn't want to take money because that's not, he understands that people don't have it. So he says that's the difference between the Rav and them. That's really the difference between a Avraham Avinu and between a Bilam. And really, as we go through life, it doesn't mean we shouldn't become doctors or lawyers. But it means we have to have, as we said before, we have to have the concept, the Adama concept in front of us, the Al-Pnei Kol Adama. So we said before, Ish Maisha, Anam Yoymi Kol Adama, Asher Al-Pnei Adama. Because the Adama, that's where we have to keep our mind. And we keep that, we're able to move forward and not fall into that trap. So the pasuk goes, Vayter, and what does it tell us? It tells us, Vayiftach Hashem es piyosim. So let's take a look now at the bottom page 449. So we have a very disgruntled donkey, right? Because what happens, he sees the malach, the donkey sees the malach, and the donkey becomes very frightened. And the donkey says to him, Vatimer asim el bilam, right? Take a look in Pasuk Chavkes. So He hits the donkey because donkey three times rammed his foot into the wall. One side, both sides, he couldn't go. We know the whole story. Everybody knows this from we learned this as kids. Vayiftach Hashem es piyosim. It's one of our favorite psukim as you're when you're a kid. Vayiftach Hashem es piyosim. Vatayimer levilam me'asisi lecha. What did I do to you? He kisses zeh shalosh regalim that you've hit me three times. Vayarmi Bilam Asa, he's allowed to be Lu Yichera Biyadi, Hi Ata Raktich. So we have an opening of the mouth. The mouth opens of the Asa. Where else do we find this concept of a mouth opening up? So we just had it. What? In Kach. We just had it. We just learned it when we did a few psukim ago, not too long ago. And we learned that the Aretz, a Tiftach Aretz is Pia. So again, we have this lashon of peh, of a mouth. There's a third place where we find such a thing. Everybody hears it every Friday night. We sing it in the Eishes Chayim. Where else do we have peh? Piha aska v'chachma v'sayras chesed al l'shoina. So we have three places where we have this concept of peh, of the mouth. So I was wondering, number one, what is this concept of the mouth? And two, we know, we've all been very, very trained, and Baruch Hashem, every shul I go to now, it says, don't talk Lashon Hara. So I was wondering, why do we call it Lashon Hara? Why don't we call it Peh Hara? Bad mouth. Or Sifsei Hara, right? It says Sifsei Chayim Yishmur Das, right? When we talk, we use our lips. So why don't we call it Svas Hara? Has anyone ever heard this question? Am I the only? I'm just right? It's a good question. Why is it called Lashon Hara? And what is this?
Or Dibur Hara.
Or Dibur Hara. Dibur Hara. Right, Dibur Hara. Oh, yeah. There's different things we could call it. What is there about the Lashon about it? Two, it says, Pia Bhas Bechachma V'sayrath Chesed Al-Lashayna. So why is Peh with Chachma and Lashon with Chesed? So I saw in the Malbin that, you know, and I'm interpreting because he doesn't say all of this, but what I had in my Machshava was, is that the Peh is something that's meant to be opened. Pia Pas Mechachma. You know, there's a difference when you smile at somebody, right? You open your mouth, right? That's a smile, is opening your mouth, right? Somebody says smile, right? If you keep your mouth closed, so that's somebody's like upset, somebody's angry, right? Closed mouth, he's very closed mouth. Tight-lipped. There's different lashonas, even English, that we use to say it. But when you open your mouth, right, it show me your whites, you know? Say, show your teeth, you know? That means you're smiling, you're saying something nice. So the Eishes Chayil is piha hoscha bechachma. She knows how to open her mouth in a way with wisdom to smile at people, to be nice to people. Chesed is something you want to do privately. That's Ezeb the Malbim. Chesed, you don't want people to know you've been doing chesed for them. There's nothing people feel more uncomfortable is when somebody is obviously doing chesed for them. What do they say? Oh, no, it's okay, right? If I come over to you like you're in my house, right, and I make a big production, I'm going to serve you lunch, and I'm going to spend 2 hours working on it, then here it's going to be. Say, no, no, don't bother, right? But if I say, well, I'm making for myself, no bother for me doing it for you, then I did chesed for you, you didn't notice it. The hardest thing is to have chesed. So says the Malbim that Pia possibly chachma, because that's something in the open. She shows her chachma by knowing how to deal with people with her mouth open. The tongue is inside. The lashon is inside our mouth. The lashon belongs in, the tongue belongs inside. So Torah's chesed is al lashonah. The chesed is on her tongue because the tongue belongs inside. How do I know that? What is the worst thing you can do? Is stick your tongue out at somebody. It's considered a great insult. Why is that? Because the tongue's inside. Tongue belongs inside the mouth. Tongue does not belong outside the mouth. As a matter of fact, which animal is known as an animal that has a lot of chutzpah?
Dog.
A dog. Did you ever notice, if you ever seen pictures of dogs, they're always, I don't want to do it, but you know, like that, they always have their tongue hanging out. That's a dog, because the tongue hangs out of the dog, because it's a chutzpah thing to do. You don't hang your tongue out. You don't put your tongue out at somebody. It's not nice. Tongue belongs inside. So pia pas because the mouth belongs open. The tongue belongs inside. So I was thinking that's why we call it Lashon Hara. Not the other words. Because we're showing that it should be something which you have bad to say or about a person should stay inside of you. It should never come out. Even if you have something, less halacha, sometimes as halacha, you have to tell another person in business or in shidduchim to protect them. But pashup shad is the tongue, it stays inside you. So therefore, I was thinking, that's why it's called Lashon Hara. So it's all beautiful. Pia pasu b'chachma, because that's the pia, is the wisdom of outside. The Torah's chesed al lashonah is what's inside. And therefore, the mouth opens up. So we see over here also this concept of the mouth is by the tiftach haaretz as pia. It did what it's supposed to do. It opened up. It opened up also to show this lesson to both Bilam and to Tirach. But tiftach haaretz as pia. The mouth is supposed to be opened. Why is it supposed to be open, Kairos? It's supposed to be open to say good things, to say the right things, not to say things that show jealousy. Bilam, what's the mouth supposed to be open for? The mouth is supposed to be open to say nice things about Klal Yisrael, not to curse Klal Yisrael. You're doing the wrong thing. Therefore, we had that mouth opened up in order to do that. And that's what you say, Tilas Hashem Yedaber, Pi, Pivarek HaBas Hashem Kod Shalom. That the Tilas Hashem in my mouth opens. It doesn't say Tilas Hashem Yedaber L'shayni, right? So therefore, that's what I was thinking, maybe a chiddush. Number one, why it's called Lashon Hara, why we have this repetition of Pia, and why in the Eishes Chayil we also talk about the Indian of the Lashon. I think it's a nice nice wrap of Shachar. Okay, let's move on. I said we're going to have a lot of things to talk about today. Let's see. Okay, let's do one last thing. Okay, so I saw from Kamenetsky, he says a great thing. If you take a look in Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and we'll leave something out about Matov Lech Yaakov and the Indian of Tznius, but we'll hold that on to another time in Mitzvah Shem so we can finish on time.
What was it again? Pasuk
Chav Gimel.
Chav Gimel.
Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Yud Gimel.
Okay.
Vayomer Lo Bolik. So Balak says, "Lech no iti." So Balak, he's frustrated, right? Every time he has Bilam to curse the Yidden, Bilam's nowhere to be found, right? I mean, he can't. You know, he's out of control. He keeps giving him brachas. Keeps saying. So he finally tells him, "Lech no iti al makam acher." Asher tirani mishon. Let's go to another place. You'll see me for their efforts. Because say we'll go to the corner and we'll see some of them. The kulo sira, the kavli mishon. We'll see some of them. We won't see all of them. And curse them for me from there. So it's very bizarre. What do you mean, see some and not see all of them? What is he saying to him? See some efforts could say you tira. I want to see some of them. The kulo sira. I don't want to see all of them. So what's the pshat? Why would it matter if he cursed some of them? Cursed all of them? You know, either the curses work or the curses don't work. You know, if he's, Bilam said, listen, I can't curse without Hashem cursing, and if he's not angry, I can't do anything. So why is he cursing from here? So he says a very funny story, as always. He says like this. There was a pious and very talented Jewish scholar who was placed on trial in a small Polish town outside of Lvov. This obviously is one of those stories that never happened. So the charges were brought by, you know, a competitor who, you know, trumped up charges. He was angry that the Yid was doing good business or whatever. He was angry at him for whatever reason. And he brought him to court on fake charges. So this young man was very beloved to the townsfolk as he served in the capacity of the Sheikhet, the Chazan, and the Cheder Rebbe. He did all these things very, you know, Baruch Hashem, you see in small towns. My father, Alba Shalom, was a Rav, and he was the Sheikhet. He was the Bal Takeya, he was the Bal Musaf and the Bal Shakra. You know, you do everything. So he was able to. So he said he did everything. He was the Shaykhid, the Chazan, the Cheder Rebbe. Said, but he went in front of a very anti-Semitic judge. So the judge was picking on him and kept calling him the butcher. You know, he made away from the fact that he's the Rebbe and he's the Chazan. And he kept saying, oh, so what does the butcher have to say? What is the, you know, what does this meat slaughter have to say? How about, you know, the meat vendor? You know, he kept, like, knocking the meat part. So the young man gets up and he says, before I begin, I'd like your permission to speak. Your Honor, I'd like to clarify one point. I serve in many capacities in the shtetl. The people in shul know me as the cantor. The children at school and all of their parents know me as the teacher. It's only the animals that know me as the butcher. Not bad. So good comeback. Obviously didn't happen because he would be, you know, he'd probably execute. So he says, unfortunately, he says, we don't always look at the totality of people or the totality of the Jewish people. Sometimes we only look at some of them. Listen to what he says. He says, there are those who stand the edge of the mountain, take a partial view. They talk about Jews who may be accused of crimes or improprieties. They dissect the individuals, embellish what they perceive as character flaws or personal faults. They point these flaws that represent the entire nation. As others point to harmful Jews, as they want to everybody instead of just them. He says, and then they shout their curses. And this is what we suffer from, of course, today. And this is why everybody has such an achrayus being a Yid. That if a Yid does something wrong, is even perceived as doing something wrong, it's not his fault, it's everybody's fault. So what Bilam wanted to do is Bilam wanted to say, I'm going to look. Ephes Katseyu. Bilam, Balak said, I want you to come. But it's not, I don't want you to curse the whole people. Because the whole people is good. Matov Alech Yaakov, Mishnah Sef Yisrael. They're wonderful people. I want to look at some of them. Find me a good guy who did an Avera down there. Let's look and see if we can find some. You didn't do it Averas. We'll curse them, and that curse will go over the entire people. He says, that's why he said in the Pasuk, let's go Ephes Katseyu. Just want to end with one thought, and that, as we know, we always talk about Sneas, about how important it is. And, you know, sometimes people get annoyed that they say this happened bad in Klal Yisrael because of lack of Sneas, and we mean it in the general sense, not in the specific sense. So what is, how does this happen? And why did Bilam get the idea to mashlin with the Bnos Moav? And they fell in at the Bnos Moav. So he says, it says, Ma toivu alecha Yaakov mishnei sef Yisrael. And Rashi says, what was so beautiful about the tents of Yaakov? Says Rashi from Chazal, because the windows did not line up with each other. When they made their tents, obviously they had windows in the tents, like in the sukkah, you know, I have the window, they didn't look directly from one house into another house. They always made the windows they should not be. And because of that sneas, he said, Ma tovo lecha Yaakov. So Bilam said to himself, I see that Hashem put that in my mind to make that bracha. That must be what makes them who they are. That must be what makes Hashem love them so much. That's Matov Lech Yaakov. And that's, if I can get them to fall there, I can get them to fall everywhere. So therefore, he says that's how he came up with the idea of the Benos Moav, to be mashem dafke in that inyan of the tznius of Klal Yisrael, of not looking to each other's tents, not looking to each other's business, and that was what made Klal Yisrael so chashev. He said, if I can get them there, I can make them fall. And therefore, that's, he says, how Bilam came with the idea of the Benos Moav, which unfortunately, despite 40 years of Mitzrayim, that they was not anybody, except Shlomo Bas Divri, who did an Aveira. In 40 years, the whole Klal Yisrael was perfect. In 40 years, living in Mitzrayim, here they fell in, thousands and thousands of people fell in, and because of the Ace of Bilam, and that's why Bilam is considered such a terrible Rasha, because even though he did not succeed in cursing Klal Yisrael, he did succeed in being Mashal Klal Yisrael. So we see this tremendous Indian of Tznius is what defines Klal Yisrael. As we said, that Klal Yisrael is Rahman by Shan and Gaim Lechasadim. Tznius is a certain busha not to do something. How many times do we act in certain ways because we have a busha that people shouldn't think that we are not the way we are, or they shouldn't find out we are the way we are? That's a Tznius Shabbat, that things are private. And that's what we said before about the Lashon. We asked why it's called Lashon Hara, and we said because the tongue is inside. Why do we call it Sfas Hara, Dibur Hara, all the other words? Because we're telling you that just like the Lashon's inside the mouth, so the person, the rod that they want to speak should stay inside of their mouth. In the same way, the Klal Yisrael has Tznius, is what defines us, is the fact that we keep the things inside that should not be outside. And therefore, when Bilam took it outside, that affected us. So we have to work on, that's why I think why they all look at Tznius as such an important inyan. And the Matov Alech Yaakov, which was Klal Yisrael, was praised by then, and Yisrael should be praised by now as well. We should all be Zaycha to live up to the ideals of Matov Alech Yaakov. Okay, yeah. Everybody for coming. If you want, anybody wants to stay, can hear over the beginning of the first part of Shir, because it was something I had a nice finish I wanted to share.